I'll give you a minute to find that, and then we'll have a read of Psalm 7, and we'll pray, and then we will have a walk through and have a look at what Psalm 7 says to us. Okay, reading from verse 1, Psalm 7. Lord my God, I take refuge in you. Save and deliver me from all who pursue me, or they will tear me apart like a lion and rip me to pieces with no one to rescue me. Lord my God, if I have done this, and there is guilt on my hands, if I have repaid my ally with evil, or without cause have robbed my foe, then let my enemy pursue and overtake me. Let him trample my life to the ground and make me sleep in the dust. Arise, Lord, in your anger, rise up against the rage of my enemies. Awake, my God, decree justice. Let the assembled peoples gather around you while you sit enthroned over them on high. Let the Lord judge the peoples. Vindicate me, Lord, according to my righteousness, according to my integrity, O Most High. Bring to an end the violence of the wicked and make the righteous secure. You, the righteous God, who probes minds and hearts. My shield is God Most High, who saves the upright in heart. God is a righteous judge, a God who displays his wrath every day. If he does not relent, he will sharpen his sword. He will bend the string of his bow. He has prepared his deadly weapons. He makes ready his flaming arrows. Whoever is pregnant with evil conceives trouble and gives birth to disillusionment. Whoever digs a hole and scoops it out falls into the pit they have made. The trouble they cause recoils on them. Their violence comes down on their own heads. I will give thanks to the Lord because of his righteousness. I will sing praises of the name of the Lord Most High. Let's pray and then have a look at Psalm 7. Father God, we just pray this morning, we ask of you to guide our hearts through your Holy Spirit as we read your word, as we look at Psalm 7. We pray that you encourage us through your word, that you can help us focus on your Son Jesus. And we pray this in his name. Amen. So here we are, we've just read Psalm 7. It's a psalm, David's writing and singing a psalm to God, thinking about, what have I done to deserve this? Let me ask you, have you been in one of those situations before when you think, I don't think I'm in the wrong here, so why is this happening to me? We have been living one of those situations for the last 2.5 years. See, as some of you probably already know, we've been having some issues with a builder to fix our bathroom in our house. We decided to get the bathroom renovated when we moved in. But from there, the nightmare just unfolded as problem after problem arose, because the builder wasn't just average at what he was doing. He was dodging. He was cutting corners everywhere. So we decided to get the authorities involved, because this builder wasn't even willing to fix his mistakes. But to make a long story short, the authority, they weren't much help either. And it seemed to us that we were being treated unfairly because we challenged them for even letting a person like this have a building license. So here we are 2.5 years later with a dodgy bathroom, looking for other ways to try and get our money back. And we're made to feel like the bad guys. But we weren't the ones who were paid to make this bathroom. It was the builder. But this whole time, we felt like we were getting punished by the builder and the authority. But we weren't the ones in the wrong. We didn't fill the walls with water. We didn't cut corners. We weren't responsible for mirrors just magically falling off walls. But it seemed like we were getting punished because we tried to stand up against the builder and the government authority. And that just leaves us out crying out, we want justice. We want justice in this situation. Now, I know it's not the same situation as David was facing, though he had some issues with bathrooms later on. But David was facing a similar situation when he wrote Psalm 7. The principle is similar. He was facing persecution, but it seems that he wasn't in the wrong. Well, this time anyway. And like David, I'm left crying out for justice in my situation, just as David calls on God to bring about justice when he wrote this psalm. Situations like mine, situations like David's, I'm sure you can think of situations in your life. We're left seeing and wanting God to bring about his righteous judgment on those who have wronged us. With that, let's have a read again of verses 1 and 2 of Psalm 7. Keep your Bibles open as we go through it. It says, Lord my God, I take refuge in you. Save and deliver me from all who pursue me, or they will tear me apart like a lion and rip me to pieces with no one to rescue me. We can see in this psalm, in Psalm 7, David acknowledges the Lord, Yahweh, as his God. Before we even go further into it, it's good to remember that David is praying, he's singing to his God, not just one of many gods, but he's saying, it is the Lord, my God. He's praying to the Lord. And as we go in, it is obvious that David, he's confused about the situation, but confident as he composes the psalm. And because of that situation, that's unfolding, like mine, maybe like yours, maybe like and like David's, that he's confused. But because of the Lord, he has a reason to be confident. Have you ever had to pray a prayer or sing a song like this? It is obvious that David has people pursuing him. And at the time of writing this psalm, it's probably most likely the henchman of King Saul, who's not all that happy about David becoming the next king. But in verse 1, David says, I take refuge in you. But what does it mean to take refuge in the Lord? Well, today, what do we think about when someone takes refuge? We see a lot of it in the media, a massive discussion that's taking place in our society at the moment about people who are seeking refuge in Australia. So, see, we have refugees fleeing countries that are persecuting them. A lot of people are fleeing war-torn countries and finding refuge in Australia. So many refugees are finding safety in Australia. Like those who are fleeing war-torn countries, David knows where the safe place is to take refuge. David knows ultimately that is the Lord is the only place to seek refuge from all who pursue him. Because it is only the Lord who can save and deliver David. And David is confident about this. So for David, whether it's Saul or Satan or anyone else that pursues him, he knows he needs to take refuge in the Lord. Otherwise, they'll tear him apart like a lion. And if he doesn't take refuge in the Lord, he will have no one to rescue him. Let's keep reading from verse 3. Lord my God, if I've done this, and there is guilt on my hands, if I've repaid my ally with evil, or without cause have robbed my foe, then let my enemy pursue and overtake me. Let him trample my life to the ground and make me sleep in the dust. Well, Lord, save me! But I guess if I've done something wrong to deserve it, well, I guess I do deserve what's coming to me. You kind of get that sense as David's in this confusion. David's trying to rethink if he's done something to deserve this persecution. And if David does deserve judgment, he's asking God to allow this judgment to happen because he knows the Lord, his God, acts justly, even in his judgment. David knows that through all of God's judgment, the Lord judges righteously. And it is the Lord whose right it is to judge. So if he has done wrong, he is willing to accept the Lord's judgment on him. But also, if he hasn't done wrong, David pleads with the Lord in this next section to pour out his judgment on those who oppose him and to bring about justice for God's people. Have a look at verse 6. Arise, Lord, in your anger. Rise up against the rage of my enemies. Awake, my God. Decree justice. Let the assembled peoples gather around you while you sit enthroned over them on high. Let the Lord judge the peoples. Vindicate me, Lord, according to my righteousness, according to my integrity, O Most High. Bring to an end the violence of the wicked and make the righteous secure. You, the righteous God, who probes minds and hearts. Awake, my God, decree justice. Have you ever felt yourself crying that out from the inside? When we watch the news, when we've seen the latest crimes committed by those who may claim Christianity, but in reality, they're not living the way that God has called them to live. Maybe watching the news, we see groups again and again, like ISIL and Al-Qaeda and other related groups, killing people by the thousands, and we're left crying out for justice. We have things happen to us in our own daily lives that we feel that when we've acted appropriately, but feel that we've been dealt with unjustly, like I felt with the bathroom situation. And then we're left crying out, God, bring about justice. As we look at God as the righteous judge in verses 6 to 9, I want you to think about how hope-filled it is for those who have refuge in the Lord, and how hopeless it is for those who don't find refuge in the Lord. Verse 6, arise, Lord, in your anger. Rise up against the rage of my enemies. Awake, my God. Decree justice. Though we see David pleading with the Lord to rise up against his enemies, it is somehow comforting to know that he's asking the Lord in his anger to bring about justice. Not to bring about justice according to David, but to bring about justice according to God. Because it is the Lord that ultimately judges, and his judgments are true, correct, and righteous. Let's have a look at verse 7. Let the assembled peoples gather around you while you sit enthroned over them on high. So this verse might seem like a change in tone from all the judgment and justice David is asking for. But actually, it is a picture hinting towards what takes place after the final judgment, that all of God's people are gathered around the throne of God after the full and final judgment takes place under the Lord Jesus. Verse 8, let the Lord judge the peoples. Vindicate me, Lord, according to my righteousness, according to my integrity, O Most High. See, David here is asking the Lord to judge the people and ask to be vindicated according to his righteousness. Now, I don't think David is admitting he's sin-free, but in the matter at present, he's convinced that he isn't in the wrong. So here David's saying, vindicate me, show me not to be at fault, and then judge those who oppress me. But can we say that today as Christians? Can we say that roughly 3,000 years after this psalm was written? Can we say, vindicate me, show me to be blameless, Lord, according to my righteousness? What do you think? What do you think? Where is our righteousness from? Is it from ourselves? Are we self-righteous, as Dan was explaining before? Of course not. Though at times we're prone to acting that way, of course we're not self-righteous. Our righteousness, if we are Christians, comes from the risen Lord Jesus, that he died on the cross paying the price for our sins, that when we place our trust in him, that when we take refuge in him, he takes away our unrighteousness, our sin, and gives us his righteousness. So for those of us today that trust in the risen Lord Jesus, we can be vindicated because of the righteousness given to us from the risen Lord Jesus. We are made righteous because of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection and ascension. We are made righteous because of the events we just celebrated at Easter. Let's have a look at verse 9. Bring an end to the violence of the wicked and make the righteous secure. You, the righteous God, who probes minds and hearts. David is crying out for those who pursue him to be brought to an end. See, for David, the righteousness was secured by faith in the Lord. But to explain how all that works in the Old Testament, to go into that much detail, we'd probably need another sermon. But for us today, we have an even clearer picture that our righteousness is secure by having faith in the risen Lord Jesus. And if you're here today and you haven't put your faith in Jesus, today is the day to do so. See, it is God who knows the truth about the minds and the hearts of man, and is the Lord who will judge righteously. And if your refuge isn't in the risen Lord Jesus, no matter who you are, you will not escape judgment unless you take refuge in the Lord. Let's have a look at verse 10. My shield is God Most High, who saves the upright in heart. God is a righteous judge, a God who displays his wrath every day. So we saw in verse 9, David describes God as righteous. In verse 10, he refers to God as my shield and a God who saves. In verse 11, David describes God as the righteous judge, a God who displays wrath. David gives us a picture of God that shows God to be both the protector of his people and a God who saves his people. And on the other hand, he illustrates God as the righteous judge who pours out his wrath. See, God can be extremely comforting or extremely terrifying, depending if you find your refuge in him or not. Have a look at verse 12. If he does not relent, he will sharpen his sword. He will bend and string his bow. He has prepared his deadly weapons. He makes ready his flaming arrows. This picture David paints shows all the tools of judgment are ready and are in place for this picture of judgment. And it seems inescapable. We see that if your trust is in the Lord, then you are safe from that judgment. But for those who don't trust in the Lord, there is only judgment. Verse 14, whoever is pregnant with evil conceives trouble and gives birth to disillusionment. Whoever digs a hole and scoops it out falls into the pit they have made. The trouble they cause recoils on them. Their violence comes down on their own heads. See, those who are pursuing David will face the consequences of their sins. And this is true just as much today, that those who do evil and don't have refuge in the Lord will ultimately face that picture of judgment that we've just seen. But then let's have a look at verse 17. I will give thanks to the Lord because of his righteousness. I will sing the praises of the name of the Lord Most High. So in this concluding verse, we see David praising God because of God's righteousness. He praises God because of his righteous character. He is thankful to serve a God who is ultimately in control, a God who provides refuge for his people, a God who judges righteously, and a God who will ultimately be victorious over evil. Because David knows he is in control. He isn't in control. God is. Because David knows he can't save himself, but it is God that saves his people. Because David knows that he can't judge righteously, but only God can do that. Because David knows that God will ultimately triumph over evil. So what about you? Do you take refuge in the Lord? See, David trusted in the Messiah that was to come. See, for us 3,000 years later, after the psalm was written, We can read in the New Testament about that Messiah, that Saviour that David was trusting in to come. For us today, we read about Jesus, the Messiah, the Saviour, in the New Testament. And we read that it was Jesus the Old Testament talked about so much. Jesus was this Messiah. He is this Messiah, this Saviour that the Old Testament was pointing to. So do you trust in this Saviour that has come and that will come again to judge the world? Do you take refuge in the risen Lord Jesus? Do you trust in him for the forgiveness of sins? Or do you face the picture of inescapable judgment that is painted for us in Psalm 7? Is your refuge in the Lord? If you don't have refuge in the Lord, today is the day to put your trust in the risen Lord Jesus. Because if your refuge isn't in the Lord, there is no hope, only judgment, righteous judgment from God. But if your refuge is in the Lord, there is a source of extreme comfort, knowing that you serve a righteous God, knowing that if you trust in the risen Lord Jesus for the forgiveness of sins, you will have refuge in him from his wrath. There is comfort knowing that if you take refuge in the Lord, he will ultimately deliver you. And at the same time, bring about destruction upon those who do evil against him and his people. So let me encourage you, take refuge in the Lord. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that you sent Jesus to die on the cross, to rise again, that he lived that perfect life that we couldn't live. Lord, we thank you that we can find refuge in Jesus, that you sent him for that purpose, to save us from our sin. Lord, we pray today that we can remember that always, that that may be the very focus of our lives, honouring and glorifying Jesus because he is our source of refuge. Lord, we just pray today. We think about those, our friends and our family who don't yet have Jesus as their refuge. We pray that you be working in their hearts to save them so that they can have Jesus as a refuge. And Lord, we pray today as we think about what Jesus did for us, that he didn't have to, but he did anyway. We thank you for that. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.